CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us, as we always are. Looking forward to being with you here on this wonderful Thanksgiving week. And so much to be thankful for, and we want to just encourage you once again, remind everybody everywhere, if we're not thankful for what we have, we won't be thankful for what we get. And so I just want to once again encourage you in that, take an inventory of your life. You know, once we look and see all the blessings that God has given us, the thankfulness that we have as we look at these different things, then we can say, okay, Lord, how may I use these things to further your kingdom? And so it's a wonderful time of the year, I believe, when we really look at the blessings of God in our life. And so just once again, if you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, wonder what a good Christian worldview is, hey, wondering what in the world is going on, hey, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. You can be part of the program today. And joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker, comes on 1 hour before To Every Man an Answer, John Randall from Calvary Chapel, South OC, down by San Clemente, California. Hi, and welcome.
Well, hello there, Mike. Great to be here with you and the CSN family. Missed everybody last week. I was in Costa Rica, if you can believe it, on Tuesday doing a wedding right about the time To Every Man an Answer program comes on.
Wow.
And, thankfully, it was a destination wedding for some good friends, and it was rainy most of the time, but thankfully the rain broke during the wedding, and which was a blessing because it was on the beach. And so, and then after that, it rained. So it was a quick trip, but missed you guys. Great to be back with you.
Well, it's good to be with you. And once again, for all those in Hawaii and on the Big Island, I'll be speaking this Sunday at 10 o'clock at the Kona Coast Fellowship. And we'll be meeting on the ocean behind the Kona Inn Shopping Village, right on the beach. And so if you'd like on the lawn there, if you'd like to come and be part of it, love to meet you. And again, we're going to be talking about God's blessing and finding God's will for your life. How do you know how to find God's will for your life? That's what we're going to talk about this Sunday. And again, it's a Kona Coast Fellowship, 10 o'clock in the morning there in downtown Kona, right there on Aaliyah Drive. And so if you're down there, you'll really enjoy it as we get together, as we meet on the beach at 10 o'clock this Sunday morning there in Kona Coast Fellowship off Aaliyah Drive. And so we look forward to seeing you there. John, again, so many things going on. And, you know, when we look at God's blessing in our life, we just have to once again realize that for such a time as this, we're all here. And again, if you've got a question listening, that number to call again, 8888-ASK-CSN. You can be part of the program today. You know, John, what's going on at San Clemente right now?
Well, like you said, we have Thanksgiving is right around the corner. I'm amazed how quickly it came up. I thought, yeah, wow, it's like it was so far, and then suddenly here we are. And which means, you know, Thanksgiving, and then you go right into December. So there's always exciting things on the horizon. But for us, one thing that is a tradition here for us in San Clemente is on Thanksgiving Day, our church has for many years now, we do a Thanksgiving Day 5K right there on the beach trail in San Clemente. And so it's a great day to start out. You can walk it, you can run it, you can push a stroller, whatever you want to do, you know, walk your dog. It's just a great time. But we go out there and we're just a light. You know, we're talking hundreds of people walking down. It's like a, like the Exodus, you know, you're just making your way down and people have Calvary shirts on. And it's always been a great opportunity for us just to be a light in the midst of in our community. So really looking forward to that. And I'm excited for it.
Yeah. And so once again, just to let everybody know that again, you know, this whole thing of Thanksgiving is so important because, you know, it's a wonderful thing as a Christian to be around a table You think about all the things that you've been blessed with and know who to thank for it. I feel so sorry for so many people, especially in America, that don't know who to thank for the many blessings in their life. And, you know, we all like to be thanked when we do something for someone. You know, in fact, when we don't get thanked, we almost feel offended because we don't believe that they even recognize the contribution we made to their life. And so I think a lot of times it's so important that when we understand how God likes to be thanked as well, you know, he's our daddy. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, when you stop to think about that, God's integral part of our daily life is, I believe, what he desires with us. Not just to contact him when we got a problem in our life, but that daily relationship where we say, not my will, but thine be done. To the phones we go, 8888, ask CSN. And that number again, for those that don't have the numbers, it's 888-827-5276. 888-827-5276. Let's go to Everett in Idaho. Hi and welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I'm reading some books by author Andrew Womack, and I was curious if you had much experience with his teachings. And there's just level of discernment that's coming out of me, and I don't know, it just seems like maybe he's got a different theology than what I'm used to off the Calvary Chapel and the CSN pastors I've been listening to. Part of which is he's saying we have the power to raise the dead that's within us, and we can call on that power. It's not God's will for us to be sick, and we need to claim that and speak directly to it, and we can cast it out. And he's almost in one of his books, a gal, he had her pray about a sickness she had, and she said, well, I still have it. Well, what was it about? And she said that part of the reason why is because she spoke to Jesus about it, and she didn't speak directly to that issue she was having. And how he was referencing it is that he's already told us that we can talk to the mountains. So we need to talk to our problems rather than bring it, not necessarily maybe not bringing it to God, but he did correct her during her prayer about healing. And that just really set me back because I thought we were supposed to petition God, you know, and come to him and ask for these things. And he makes it seem like another point he had is if you have friends come over, you wouldn't ask the power company to come over to your house to turn the light switch on. You would just go do the light switch. So if you go to God for something he's already given you the authority to do, that's the reason why it's not getting answered. And that's, I guess, my question.
Well, let's go to what Jesus said. They came to Jesus and they said, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray in this manner. Now, not a mindless, endless, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name kind of thing, but pray in this manner, pray in this blueprint. Our Father which art in heaven. Now there, right there, we find the prayer directed to God. We don't find the prayer directed to the illness or the problem. We find that Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, is whom we have to do. We go to God in prayer. Anything that would divert me from my relationship with God, in other words, praying to the problem, praying to the tree, praying to the illness, that we don't find in Scripture. And this is dangerous theology. I am not familiar with Andrew Womack, but I will tell you this. I don't have to really go to all these other books to find how we as a Christian are supposed to respond. You don't find anywhere in the Bible where we would allow something. Now, Jesus said, if you had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. However, that has to be in the will of God. Now, God's will is for everybody to be sick and for everybody to be wealthy. Haven't found that one in the Scripture. And certainly someone should explain that to the disciples as they were being martyred for their faith. Your thoughts, John?
Yeah, I would be very cautious and warn any listeners concerning this man, Mr. Womack. I think the reason being, you know, he has a book out where it talks about God wants you well. And there is some deeply flawed theology in Womack's writing. For example, he doesn't necessarily explain what God means when he said God wants believers well, but seems to claim that, you know, at the cross, basically, and again, this is the prosperity, faith, healing, kind of that whole category of teacher that seems to be popular and people respond to it. But he believes that the cross of Jesus has already redeemed believers from sickness and disease and purchased complete physical healing for them. Healing is a done deal, quote, he says, and is available to us now exactly the same as the forgiveness of sins. Moreover, the cross also redeems believers from financial poverty. And, you know, goes on to use a scripture where, you know, that we might become the righteous of God in him, and wants us to be wealthy and all these things. He uses these scriptures out of context. And it's really unfortunate because I think these guys are going to stand before the Lord and give an account for what they say. Basically, if you're not healed, it's because you don't have enough faith, or you haven't asked God clearly, or this or that, and it's because of you. And if you did this right, and if you gave this way, then you'd probably be able to, you know, it's all that stuff that ties into that false teaching, really, is what it is.
It's all your fault.
Yeah,
something isn't right. It's all your fault. You didn't use your magic faith words. You didn't have enough faith. You didn't talk to the problem. There's sin in your life. There's this, there's that. I've heard it all. Listen, if there was ever a time that we would petition God at a time when we didn't have sin in our life, no prayers would ever be prayed. Because there's always an element of pride we have to be careful of. And so this is one of the dangers that I see. I didn't mean to cut you off, John, but
right.
You know, what you said is so important. And we go to Jesus, who is the authority on this. And when we pray in this manner. He said, "Our Father, which art in heaven." I think that's so important. John, your thoughts again.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, the book goes on, and here's some quotations where it basically, the question is, if God wants all believers to be well, why are so many believers not well? That's a good question. And so his response, his answer, this is what he said, quote, this is from page 41 of his book, quote, "If God wants us well and we aren't, this means we have to accept some degree of responsibility." And some people don't experience healing, this is page 43, because they don't understand how to receive healing properly. And basically, you know, tell that to the Apostle Paul when he said, "I was sick and I asked God to heal me. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you." Remind yourself of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, when he said, "I left Trophimus sick at Miletus." I mean, Paul had sweatbands in the book of Acts that he was handing out to people, and they were being healed. So did Paul not have enough faith to trust God? No, this was part of, God allowed it for some reason. But to say to somebody who is dying or sick, "Hey, listen, it's because it's probably your responsibility. You haven't had enough faith." That is so wrong, and really creates a terrible picture of God that is not revealed in Scripture. So I think I would definitely stay away from, and I think you're discerning in what you're reading there, Everett. I think you're very clear. That's not biblical, and I would avoid this guy's teaching at all costs.
Yeah, because, you know, usually you'll find when someone's off in one area, they'll be off in other areas. When the spirit of error is working, and it is here, I think you have to be very, very careful. Again, now, very quickly, John, let's talk about a few people in the Bible that were beloved by God. We remember Paul left his companion in Miletus sick. We find that Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, "Take some wine for your stomach and your other infirmities." He didn't say, "Have more faith, speak to the problem," all these kinds of crazy things. When we go back to the Bible, it knocks the wheels off the bus of these people's ideas. Your thoughts?
I mean, think about Job. I mean,
yeah, there you go.
Great example right there. I mean, here we said the Lord allowed Job to be tested to a point, and to say that, you know, Job just didn't have enough faith and all of these things. I mean, God allowed this in Job's life to refine him. And of course, you know, Job said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So again, there are these prosperity teachers out there. They take passages of Scripture primarily out of context and say things that will, you know, it's up to your faith. And if you do this, but here's the thing, the sad thing about this, Mike, is we can swing the opposite way, which we don't want to, and say that God doesn't heal. No, listen, God God can heal. God does have the ability to heal. It's him. He does it. And he chooses sovereignly whether to heal or whether not to heal. If you're a Christian, ultimately you will be healed one day in the presence of the Lord when you're, there is no more sickness. But sometimes God allows us, we live in fallen bodies. Something's going to take us home to be with the Lord. Some sickness at some point is going to be the thing perhaps that God uses, whatever he decides. But God does heal. But this teaching that if you're not healed, it's because you don't have enough faith is inconsistent. It's wrong. It's false teaching is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And if we want to look at it, even expand the whole idea, well, you know, the reason why you're not healed is there's sin in your life or whatever. That's to say then that every person that has no illness is right with God. We know that's not true either. So understanding then that we're in a fallen body, someday this mortal is going to put on immortality. But until that day, we have to just do what God has called us to do. And when we look at what that costs people that serve God, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, most of the time, all the time, it costs them their life. So again, be about our Father's business. So important. The one thing in Fox's Book of Martyrs you'll never read about is how the Pharisees died. It's because they didn't. They're still here with their crazy ideas. Everett, I hope that helps.
Yeah, so it definitely helped. And like I said, my discernment, God was just speaking to me. Paul complaining about having the issue with the thorn in his side, God not removing it, screamed out. Right. Job screamed out. Joseph screamed out when he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And there's just too many things that I can quote that I had so many questions. And I'm very thankful and blessed to have you guys be able to speak to you about this because you are a wealth of knowledge. But I really do help. I do. If I could get a moment of prayer from you guys, I've been struggling with some ringing in my ears, tinnitus, for about 2.5 months now, and I've tried a bunch of different avenues, and I'm not gotten very far with it, and I would definitely appreciate a prayer.
Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. We lift up Everett to you and all those that are listening as well that need a touch from you. God who heals, would you please heal us? Mm-hmm. Lord, we don't come to you demanding anything. We just come to you as your children saying, please touch us. Please touch Everett's ringing in his ears. And Lord, God who heals, would you extend your hand of healing to him? In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Everett, stay online. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs. I think you'll really enjoy. Great for evangelism. Share them with your friends. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. Let's go to Austin in Nevada. Hi and welcome.
Hi. How's it going? I was just wondering about a couple different things. But along the same lines, in a couple places in my Bible, it says that this verse is not recorded in the latest or in the earliest manuscripts or the latest manuscripts. And I was wondering about why some of the scrolls make it into the Bible, but then the oldest manuscripts may not. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, you're talking the difference between the Alexandrian text and the Textus Receptus. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what I mean. I'm familiar with those texts, but the question being why some are not put in and others are not. I defer that to you, Mike.
Well, they're simply not there. That's the problem with the Alexandrian text, such as when you read some of the newer versions, you'll come to Mark chapter 16. And about the middle of the chapter, it just ends in the Alexandrian text. There's no resurrection of Christ. There's nothing. It just ends. And it says, these manuscripts were not found in the Alexandrian text. However, they are in Textus Receptus, and that's why we have the complete book of Mark. There's a lot of problems, I believe personally, with the whole Alexandrian thing. They were from Alexandria, Egypt. Many people, many Bible scholars believe they were extremely corrupted. Many of the newer versions of the Bible that are out are based on the Alexandrian text, which they say are newer, but they're incomplete. And that's where the problems come in. And so to simply eliminate them, as many of them do, like I say, the book of Mark makes no sense. You don't even have the resurrection of Christ in the book of Mark, according to the Alexandrian text. So this is where those come from. And we find them, I believe, personally tampered with. Chuck Smith, who I believe is a very, very good Bible teacher, had a lot of problems with the Alexandrian text and many of the new versions of the Bible, not because it's the Bible, but because of the source of many of the verses that were coming out that were missing. They make no sense. Again, the book of Mark makes no sense when you follow the Alexandrian text. Any last thoughts, John?
No, I think that's great. I appreciate your comments.
Hope that helps.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was also wondering about when Jesus sends out the disciples, in exactly half of the manuscripts it says 70 he sent out, and the other half it says 72. Now, are we just going to choose the complete set to go off of, and do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, this is where we get back, I believe, to some of the issues with the Alexandrian texts. You'll find, I'll just give you a good illustration. And you'll even find it transposing into the New King James, unfortunately. But we're in the Gospels, it says, "My son is a lunatic." They came to Jesus. He said, "My son is a lunatic. Oftentimes he throws himself into the water and into the fire. I asked your disciples to cast out the demon. They couldn't." Now, Jesus goes on to say that these come out only by prayer and by fasting. Okay. But the point is, the word lunatic in the Textus Receptus in the Greek, it is the word moonstruck. Now, when you get into the Alexandrian texts, they supplant that word and they use the word epileptic. Now, epilepsy is a neurological issue. Now, I don't believe it's beyond God's ability to heal, but there's a far difference between being moonstruck and an epileptic. Moonstruck is where most of the pagan practices were done under full moons. And as a matter of fact, in Hawaii, I was in one of the stores and they had the moon dance where they were all dancing around, you know, beating drums and all these kinds of things. Evidently, this man's son, and it does, I don't believe he was 5 years old. I believe he was probably late teens even, got himself possessed. He was no longer in control of his own faculties. He would oftentimes throw himself into the water, into the fire. He was suicidal. That's what demons do, by the way. And so when we understand that there's a far difference between epilepsy, which is a neurological issue, and moonstruck, which is a demonic spiritual issue, makes all the difference in the world. This is why I have some trouble with the newer versions, because of the words left out, the distortions in the translations. Because again, when you go back to the original language, it is not preserved in these newer versions. Any last thoughts?
Well, I would just say, you know, there's a difference found in approximately half of the ancient scrolls in translation between the number 70 and the number 72. And, you know, some people debate about it. And they do say that the number 70 is mentioned in scripture and other places in Exodus and Numbers and Jeremiah. And it's probably 70. And some have suggested that maybe the two was a copying error. But whether it's 70 or 72, I think the main thing about that passage that makes it so important is the instructions that Jesus gave and the power that came upon those disciples to perform the miracles and cast out demons there in Luke chapter 10. That's really what you want to focus on. Was it a copying error? Did somebody actually, there was a slip of the pen, 70 or 72, half of the scrolls, which one was it? I don't know. But here's what I know for sure. 70 or 72, if you like, were sent out empowered by the Spirit, and they went out and did incredible things on this short-term missionary journey as recorded in Luke chapter 10. And that is what, I mean, just makes such a profound impact on our lives when we read that in its context.
So I hope that answers it for you, Austin.
Thank you for your time today, guys. I hope to get some more of it in the future.
Well, get some more questions and give us a call back. Stay in line if you like. Send you out some books, some DVDs. I think you'll really enjoy. Great to share with your friends, especially at this time of the year where a lot of friends and families are close by. You know, I find sometimes it's so hard to minister to our relatives. But, you know, let something else minister to them. All you have to do is deliver the DVD to them or the booklet or whatever. Let God do the rest. And so, Austin, stay in line. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, and I think you'll enjoy that. And let's go to Alex in Hawaii. Aloha.
Chris, how are you?
Good. How may we help?
Aloha, Pastor. I have a question in regards to a commercial I just heard from CSN about astral projection. And that sparked the question regarding 2 Corinthians 5:8, if to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And how does that kind of coincide with people who have like out-of-body experiences where they see the light and then, or they're out of their body for like 8 to 10 minutes? Are they seeing the Lord or they're in like a transitional phase and then they come back to earth, or how does that work?
Well, as far as transcendental meditation, those kinds of out-of-body experiences, I think the demons are alive and well on the planet Earth. I do know, though, people who have died, clinically died in the hospital, their heart stopped beating for a number of minutes, and they see all different kinds of things. Many see this situation of going to hell. So I think that there's a lot there. We're going to talk more about this as we're coming up on a break. We don't want anyone to go away. And we want to talk about this because, you know, there's so much misinformation out there brought on, I believe, by the underworld. And so we'll talk about this in greater depth. John, I know you got a lot of great things to say. We'll be right back right after this.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake. And that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
If you are 65 or older, you know this, inflation is hitting everyone hard right now, especially when it comes to healthcare. Over the last 10 years, healthcare costs have skyrocketed by, get this, 230%. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are still out-of-pocket expenses like deductibles and co-payments, and they really add up. But here's some good news. MediShare 65 Plus is designed to fill in those gaps and help protect you from rising healthcare costs. At only $99 per month up to age 75, you get peace of mind at a price you can afford. And MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around 30 years. It's not some big impersonal thing. It's a community of people helping each other, business owners, pastors, retirees. People love it. MediShare 65 Plus just makes sense. To learn more, give them a call. They're great to talk to. They'll offer to pray with you each time you call, too. Call now. 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
We want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Tuesday afternoon. We're with John Randall from Calvary Chapel, South OC, down by San Clemente, California. And once again, if you're in the Kona area on the Big Island this Sunday, I'll be speaking at the Kona Fellowship off Aaliyah Drive, right there by the Kona market there. It's, you'll see the signs out on the sidewalk, but we meet right on the beach. It's beautiful. And there's a covered area where we sit underneath. And so we just want to invite you to come. I think you'll be very, very blessed. Starts at 10 o'clock. And again, they're in Kona off Aaliyah Drive. And I think you'll enjoy it at 10 o'clock. Going back to the phones, we had Alex on the line and asking about the importance of, what about all this astral projection and out-of-body experiences? Like I said, we do know people do have sometimes at the time of death something like that, and then they resuscitate them and they come back. Your thoughts, John?
Well, you know, the phrase itself, absent from the body, as Alex mentioned, used there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 6 through 8, Paul is talking about, when he talks about being absent from the body and being present with the Lord, he's referring to death. When a believer in Jesus Christ dies, the Bible tells us that the spirit is separated from the body and moves to another place to be with the Lord. Listen, if you're a Christian, you go to be with the Lord, Mike. There's two places people spend eternity. One place is called heaven. That's the place Jesus died so that we could go to and purchased us. And then there's another place called hell for those that have rejected the message of the gospel. And Jesus died so you'd never have to go there. But Paul said, we're confident as long as we're in the body. Hey, we're good. But to be absent from this body, in fact, it's kind of a desire we have. We want to be with the Lord. So that's what Paul referred to. But then there's, Mike, you see these things sometimes where people come out with testimonies. And, you know, they had it out, as Alex mentioned, out of body experience. And I wrote a book about it. And actually there's a movie about it. And I'm not, who am I to say? I wasn't there. I didn't see it. I was 10 minutes in heaven or 20 minutes in hell. There's like these different things that come out from time to time. I do know that when the Apostle Paul tried to describe being caught up into the third heaven, caught up into the presence of the Lord, he describes it. He said that it would have been a crime to try to explain it. And he didn't. He couldn't even put into words what he was able to see. So I sometimes am, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I am a little bit skeptical, however, when I hear these different things that come up, you know, 20 minutes in hell, this is what it's like. And 15 minutes in heaven, this is what it's like. And I saw this and I saw that. I think the Bible reveals enough about heaven and enough about hell to give us insight on where we want to go in eternity. But so I'm a little skeptical of these things, but it does happen. I mean, you hear about people saying, I was out of my body and I saw this and I was on the operating table. I met a guy who went through that one time. And so, but to be absent from the body as a Christian is to be immediately present with the Lord. That I know for sure.
Amen. And the problem, again, with many of these things, you have no way of checking it. Oh, you know, I was up there in heaven and I was riding around on a dog. And, you know, I saw my friend Blue sitting in the back of his old Ford truck having a kegger. And, oh, man, they were having a great time. You have no way of proving that. That stuff is made up. That's why we have the Bible. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. We have that. When you read these books, 15 minutes in hell, just as you said, John, you have no way to prove that. 15 minutes in heaven, you have no way. You're relying on what they say. Now, we know Paul was caught up in the third heaven, beheld God in his glory. We know what to expect. But when we see these other sources, I go, well, that's interesting. I can't put any gospel truth to it because I don't know if it's accurate or not. Was the guy really in the spirit? Was he really in heaven? Or was it indigestion from late night pepperoni pizza? I don't know. So we got to be real careful when we come to extracurricular information on life hereafter, whether it's transcendental, whether no matter what it is. I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. So in context, it's just regarding death, right? Because after once we die, we go to the judgment and all of that.
Yeah, the Bible says that. Now, I do know, I believe Daryl Skinner is one that had died. He died for a couple of minutes, and the Lord allowed him to come back. And he saw things that he said, there's no way I would ever known those things had not been supernaturally revealed to me in those couple of minutes. So I do know, and I do believe that happens. But I believe, again, if somebody comes up with saying something that is not what the scripture says, then I have to be extremely skeptical of that. Well, you know, Uncle Fred, I saw him in heaven, and he was sitting at the table with Jesus having a beer, and, you know, they were talking about the party times in the 60s. I know that person is lying. And so we have to be very, very careful in what is said. Do I believe it happens? Yeah. Well, Lazarus is a good illustration of that. He was dead for 4 days. He stinketh. And he came back to life. God brought him back. So we do know that there is this element that is there. However, everything that we hear, Alex, we always have to base off of what the Word of God says to know what absolute is, because there's so many other voices that are out there. And one is Satan's whole thing. The Bible says he's the father of all lies. And so if he can get people to believe that everybody's going to heaven, or there is no life after death, or whatever, hell's a beautiful place. These are all lies and tricks of the underworld. So be very careful. Hope that helps.
Yes, it does. Much mahalo, Pastor. God bless.
Blessings to you. Stay online if you like. Send you out some books and DVDs. And let's go to a different Alex in Fort Morgan, Colorado. Hi, welcome.
Hey, how's it going? Well, you had mentioned something that made it sound like you didn't believe in eternal security, or you questioned people's salvation. And I'm not trying to throw shade or be abrasive, et cetera. But I think it's super important to preach a simple grace-based gospel to everybody. Not that you don't. I just mean in general. Like, there's no, you don't have to get baptized. There's no, you know, there's no special prayer. All you got to do is believe, right? So, and I think that as a church, the church does not do a great job of doing that now. And that's one of the reasons I think most of churches are empty nowadays, because they don't. I don't know if it's a form of godliness, but denying its power or what's going on. But the churches in my area are not full, and there's not a lot of anything going on. And so that's just something I've been pondering. So I was asking for clarification on your view of stuff to make sure that you weren't Calvinistic leaning, because I've listened to you a bunch and you don't seem to be that way. But this off-the-cuff comment made it seem like you were questioning something.
Have you read the book of Jude?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, that whole book is about people who knew or had a relationship with God and walked away. Very clear. That's what the book's about. And the very last couple of verses, it says, now he who is able to keep you from falling. The rest of that book has to do with, do you want to be kept? Jesus very clearly gave a story about an individual in Matthew chapter 24. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. He said, this evil servant says in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. He's claiming a relationship with the Lord. He begins to eat and drink with a drunkard and beat his fellow man. He's a violent drunk. The Bible, Jesus says, the Lord of that servant will come when he's not expecting him, probably because he's stoned, and give him his portion with the hypocrites, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is not heaven. That is hell. Now, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and he's writing to Christians, not writing to a brothel, a bar, something like this. He's writing to a church, and he says, do not be deceived. Really? Wait a minute. He's addressing Christians not to be deceived, because people that have these lifestyles will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, I think that's pretty serious And I don't think it should be there. Now, when you mention churches being empty, I believe it's because they don't teach the entirety of God's word. They teach tickling ear stuff. Well, you know, just walk an aisle, just believe, and you're going to heaven. Whammo, bammo, you've got it, baby. Does the Bible teach that? No, not at all. The Bible, it's not works, it's faith. But it isn't just to acknowledge Jesus Christ lives, or that he's there, or that he died on a cross. No, the Bible says the demons believe and tremble. But that doesn't mean they're saved. In John 3:16, when it says that for God so loved the world, that whosoever believes on him, the word believe there means put all your faith, trust, and hope in. Not simply to acknowledge, but to put all your faith, trust, and hope in. I think what has happened because of the lack of God's word, easy believism has slipped into the church. And because of that, well, you know, I mean, I'm as good as anybody else. You know, truth is relative. I'm as good as you are. True is true if it's true to you. But, you know, your reality of Christ may not be mine. And so I go to a church that really doesn't teach the Bible, so that way I can stay in my reality and I don't have to be challenged. And so actually, I don't even need to go to church because, hey, my reality is it all really matters anyway. I believe that's what the problem is. It's not because of the Word of God that's being taught, churches are empty. It's because the lack of it being taught. The Bible says in the last days there'll be a famine, not for food, not for water, but for the Word of God. And certainly we see that today. Jesus himself said in John chapter 3, concerning a church, he's not writing again to a bar or brothel. He said, if you repent of these things you're doing, I will not blot your name out of the book of life. Whoa, whoa, what? What's that? Well, that doesn't mean what it says. We just X it out. We get one of those magic felt markers that are black, and we just mark that out because I don't like that. Can't do it. And people say, well, where else does it say that? Well, go to Revelation 22. It says, those who tamper with the words in this book, God will take your name out of the book of life. Hey, I take God's word serious. And here's the other biggest part. If it doesn't make any difference, and evidently for a lot of people it doesn't, why do we have any of the books of the New Testament compelling us to walk worthy of our calling? If it doesn't really make any difference, then live like you want after you accept Christ. Hey, once saved, always saved, baby. But it doesn't say that. Now, true, no one will pluck you out of the hand of God, according to John chapter 10. I agree. But we also find in that same chapter that word no one applies to anyone external, not internal. So he says, I lay my life down, I pick it up again, all in John chapter 10, and no one takes my life from me. You see, no one means anybody other than yourself. I believe God will fend off those that are trying to rip us off. But you know, we have this ability to walk away. This is why the Bible tells us. Look at Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Or chapter 4, he says, Demas, having loved this present world, has departed. It's very clear he walked away from God. That's, again, what the book of Jude is about. Your thoughts, John?
Yeah, it's a great, it's a really good question. And I agree with Mike's comments. There is a side to this that I just want to kind of bring in. And that is, I think sometimes when people ask the question, if you're once saved, always saved, and I've been asked that question multiple times. And my question is, some of the people who, did they know what it meant to be saved to begin with? You know, you see these people walk away and you think, did they really understand? So let me explain it in this way, Alex, if I can. If I come across a person, let's say, who says, I'm a Christian, but they're living in a habitual, unrepentant sin, and they are deceived into thinking because I prayed a prayer somewhere or I went forward at this thing, but then I left and never walked with Jesus, I would never want them to feel comfortable in that condition. And so I would point them to scripture and I would say, listen, God calls you to repent. You can't live like that and really truly be a follower of Jesus any more than I would come across a man, let's say, for example, who said he was married to his wife. He went through, the ceremony, but then he left the ceremony and went out and met a woman that wasn't his wife. And he's now living with her. I'd say, hey, that's not right. Well, I'm married. Once married, always married. Actually, there's a commitment involved. This is a relationship that you have. So I never want somebody in a backslidden condition to feel like, hey, everything's cool with the Lord. You just continue to live that way. Don't worry about it. You know, Paul said, shall we sin that grace may abound? He said, certainly not. That's a misunderstanding. So some people who say they're a Christian, but live like they're not, I wonder myself, were they truly saved to begin with? Now, the other side of this, if I might bring this up, Mike, is that sometimes you come across people who just feel like, I think I lost my salvation. I blew it, or I tripped, or I stumbled, and I'm really concerned. And I think, I don't know if God still has me. I'd say, hey, listen, what does the Bible say? You know, you confess your sins, you turn back to, you repent of your sin, and God will forgive you and he'll cleanse you and he'll give you the power of his Holy Spirit. You're in his hand. Don't worry. Like you got to go get saved again this week because you just, you know, you lost. So you got to get saved again. You got to get saved again. Like were you saved to begin with? And so I would encourage those. So it's two different ways to look at it. But the other thing, there's a lot of scriptures on both sides of this. You know, there's plenty of scriptures that say, walk with the Lord, persevere. And Mike pointed out so many of them. And I think it's right. You know, my pastor used to always say, listen, you're secure. Just abide in Jesus. You got nothing to worry about. If you're abiding, there's nothing to worry about. If you're not abiding, there's a lot of passages of scriptures that should be very concerning to you. Those that practice such things will not inherit. On the other hand, if you're abiding, Paul says it, listen, I'm convinced neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nothing present, nothing nor things present, nor height nor depth, nor any of the created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The question is, are you in Christ Jesus our Lord? If you are, you're abiding, you don't got to worry about anything separating. You are secure in him. Amen. If you're out there living like you don't know him, I would be very concerned.
Yeah. And here's the thing. How'd you get your name in the book of life in Revelation chapter 3 for Jesus to be able to blot it out? I've heard some really whacked out things saying, well, everybody's name is in the book of life. Oh, really? So the idea of original sin is not true, and the Bible is an error there because everybody's name is in the book of life, and then you do something wrong and oopsie, you get your name blotted out. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. We get our name in the book of life when we become born again. And that's why the Bible tells us at the great white throne judgments, the books are open. Everybody's name who's not found, written in the book of life, is cast in the lake of fire that burns forever. This is very serious. And so I really look at this, Alex, as something important. Now, do I believe you sneeze and lose your salvation? No, I don't believe you ever lose your salvation. Please make that clear. Everybody, you never lose your salvation. You leave it. If I lose my car keys, I don't know where they are. I can spend days, and I have, looking for my car keys. And it's funny, they're right where I left them the last time I saw them. Funny story. But if I leave my car keys on the table, I know right where they are. I just choose not to pick it up. Now, again, why do we have the books in the Bible? The book of Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, all these books compelling Christians to walk worthy of their calling. If it doesn't matter, where does Paul get off even saying anything? So I got to believe that it isn't works, as the Bible says, that saves us, but God attributes our faith in him as works. The Bible says that. God attributes faith as works. That's good. Now the question is your faith in Christ? And if your faith is in Christ, hey, that doesn't mean we don't have bad days. Don't mean we have hard days. Doesn't mean there's time in my Christian personal life that I have kind of walked away from the Lord or had times of great dryness. Hey, listen, I may have left God, but God never left me. And certainly as we look at the life of David, we see that replete over and over again and much more put back into David's life when he came back to the Lord. So I want to say we need to be aware of that. Now, the biggest question, Alex, and we'll end with this, is what do you think heaven is? This is what I tell people that ask me the question about once saved, always saved, because I think that's a secondary question. The primary question is, if you died today, would you be at home in heaven? Wait a minute, what's that mean? Well, if you think heaven is an everlasting kegger in the back of your old truck, well, I want to go to heaven. All my buddies want to go to heaven. But if you realize that's where God's going to be worshiped forever, it's going to be an everlasting worship service. What? Be around all those Christians forever and an everlasting church service? I don't want to do that. Well, what do you think heaven is? Because if you have Hollywood's concept of heaven, you're going to say, oh, yeah, I want to go to heaven. But if you have the biblical concept of heaven, as Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Here it is, as it is in heaven. If you don't want to do God's will on this earth, call yourself a Christian, non-Christian, backslidden Christian, whatever. If you don't want to do God's will here on this earth, Jesus says, as it is in heaven, you're not going to want to do it there. So I think really the real question is, if you died today, would you be at home in heaven? Knowing what the Bible says heaven is, not some other goofy concept. Alex, I hope that helps.
Oh, it does. I think it's just a lot of folks get sanctification and salvation. I mean, obviously it all kind of boils in together, right? But it just seems like, and not that, so, I mean, and the church is, I mean, maybe I'm just misplacing what the whole point of the church, but in my mind, I mean, the churches, I mean, the churches should have a line around the block, right? I mean, like, if we believe what we're selling, like, there should be something going on, and nothing's going on, and it's just super, super disheartening.
Well, I think a lot of ministers aren't sold on what they're selling. I think that's a great observation, Alex. I do. Ain't God good? I'm so blessed. You know, it's another wonderful day God's given us. I go, wow, what is that? And you see these people, you wonder if they were baptized in lemon juice or something. You go, what is wrong with you? See, and the thing is that I believe it goes back to being thankful. What has God given you? God, thank you for my fingers, and thank you that I can walk, and thank you. Hey, listen. I have had times when I pray over my food. Everybody does. Oh, Lord, thank you for this food. But you know, when you've had the stomach flu or you've been really ill, maybe food poisoning, man, I prayed, Lord, thank you for this food and thank you for the ability to eat it. When I was a missionary over in Tonga, I remember eating out in the jungle. We didn't know what we were eating in this hut that people had invited us over to. But I remember what's called the missionary prayer. Lord, I'll eat it up. You keep it down. There's a lot of things that go into what we are as people. And so hope that helps, Alex.
It does. It does. I appreciate it.
God bless you. Stay online. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs. Great to share with your friends. Again, I believe that when we're not faithful, God is. Oh, please understand that, everybody. We see so many times in King David's life. But if you want to stay in the pigsty, as the prodigal son finds himself in the day of reckoning, had he died in the pigsty, everyone, he would have been in the pigsty and not as his father's side. Something always important to remember. Let's go to Perla in Dallas, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I just want to say your show has really, really blessed me, and I just want to thank y'all so much for doing God's work. Just really quickly, my mom is Catholic. We were raised Catholic. Just last year in December, I gave my life to Christ, and he has completely changed my life. And now I have a hard time talking to her when it comes to the Word of God, because my mom has a lot of resentment and anger, and I feel like she has a hard time forgiving and letting things go. And when I bring up certain things, like this past conversation we had, she was telling me that she didn't want to be a hypocrite, that God doesn't like hypocrites, so she wasn't going to be one. And it was talking about us praying for our family members that had some kind of diagnosis, but this person, my mom, according to my mom, has done a lot of evil to her, so she did not want to pray for her. She was not going to be a hypocrite. So I told her, well, Mom, God says that we should love our enemies and pray for our enemies, but she was just so upset and saying that she's not going to be a hypocrite and God doesn't like hypocrites, so she's going to be honest. And I just, it's really, really hard for me to talk to her. I've never had, like, a relationship with her.
Perla, real quick, You're dealing with the difference between a relationship with God and somebody that has religion. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree with that. As it relates to, you know, reaching your mom, I would just say, you know, she's going to see it in your life, Perla. Continue to love her. Continue to be an example. Continue to live out your faith. And I really believe truly in the power of prayer. The Bible says that the prayer of a righteous person avails much. And so I would be consistent and fervent, be a light, be an example, and let your actions speak, but pray and ask God to soften her heart. And I believe that God has the power and the ability to do just that, Mike.
Quickly, pray for her mom.
Father, we do pray for Perla's mom. And Lord, we just pray that you would just bring reconciliation, Lord, in this relationship. God, do a work there. Soften her heart. Lord, let Perla be a light. We thank you for her, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Perla, stay on the line. I want to send you some things that maybe you can get into her hands. We're all out of time. So Lena and Paul and Andy, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. And God bless you. Thanks, John, for being on the program. Keep looking up.
Ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.